You're listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Rodgers will go conventional. He'll do it himself. Touchdown, Packers. Aaron Rodgers into the end zone.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the eye.
Get those back.
So they tried to address the problem, but so far, like you said, nothing.
I guess the bright side is it happened early enough on that there's time.
What are you talking about? We're going to talk about the pass rush. You can't talk about what's not there.
If we don't start pushing it, pocket back, and getting some pass rush, we're going to.
Seats in the bowl at Lambeau will definitely outweigh the demand for seats.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my name is CD. You can call me CD. It's time for a Packers intervention. I don't know where you guys are at right now, but holy moly, Jamie, it's been a crazy, crazy week. We are your intervention. Just want everyone to know we're a bunch of people. We all love you like crazy. We just feel like we're losing you, Green Bay Packers, and we want to fight to get you back.
Will you join us in this fight?
You know, move on with that. Anyway, my name is CD Angeli. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Cheesehead Radio. Joined by Jamie Snowden, John Rahor may be joining us a little bit later in the show. Jersey Isle's taking off this week. We're going to be welcoming a little bit later in the show Mr. Pete Doherty, and he is from the Green Bay Press Gazette, also from PackersNews.com. This guy is going to help us figure this out. The Packers coming off a very, very tough loss on Sunday against division. I hesitate to use the word rival because they really haven't been a rival since like 1991, 92, but apparently they are now because they beat us at home. So rough week for all of us Packer fans. Hopefully we're going to get this fixed up. Quick thank you is going to go out to our sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing over at Mayfield Sport on Twitter, and Waukesha Sports Card. You can follow them on Twitter at walksports.com. Let's just get to this week's news.
Jersey Al and Jamie bring you this week's Packer News.
Well, the loss to the Detroit Lions last Sunday did more than just take the air out of the tires of Green Bay Packer fans everywhere. It put the Packers clearly at the crossroads of their entire season. With Green Bay now a full game behind the Vikings in the NFC North, the Pack have two divisional games in a matter of 5 days, heading to Minnesota on Sunday before hosting the Bears on Thanksgiving. Another two losses, and even a wild card, is going to be a pipe dream.
But on the other hand, two wins and the Packers are back in first place in the division and have a shortened bye week before heading to Detroit. If they do go on such a winning streak, it would Jared Avedaris, who will be out several weeks due to a rib injury suffered in Sunday's loss. On the flip side, at least it wasn't a concussion.
Surprise, surprise. Now, injuries appear to be the underlying of many of the Packers' preparations for the Vikings. Coach McCarthy has now said that Aaron Rodgers is banged up. Now, this is a different story than we've been told the past few weeks. It sounds familiar to the tale of Eddie Lacy, who also went several weeks without being injured and then suddenly was. However, Lacy is practicing again this week as he prepares for his continued now backup role to James Starks. And between injuries to Abradaris, Micah Hyde, and Ty Montgomery, the Packers might be lining up B.J. Raji to return kicks next week.
Speaking of kicks, the potentially game-winning 52-yard field goal attempt by Mason Crosby in the waning minutes of the game on Sunday appears to be completely Mason Crosby's fault. Early speculation placed a share of the blame on the horrible shank on holder to Maste, whose hand appeared to partially block the kick. But Maste and Crosby both confirmed that handgate simply wasn't true, and Crosby, by his own admission, flat missed it.
Handgate. Anyway, there's no shortage of blame to go around with the impulsive Packer fan base, with overt accusations coming forth that Aaron Rodgers should now forego intimate relations with Olivia Munn until the losing streak is broken, and Mike Ditka's now horrifying donning of a Packer sweater for McDonald's ad all may be leading to why the Packers are struggling. But the biggest culprit of all might be between their ears. And apparently each other. Jason Cole of Bleacher Report chimed in this week that opposing defensive coordinators are saying, rather loudly, that Aaron Rodgers simply doesn't trust his wide receivers.
Rodgers may not trust Devontae Adams right now, but he's earned an admirer in Bears fan and U.S. President Barack Obama. When asked about his leadership style, Obama compared himself to Rodgers by saying he's like Rodgers in the pocket, in the sense, you can't be distracted by what's around you. You've got to be looking downfield. And I think that's a quality I have, not to get flustered in what's around me.
Rodgers stated that he was... Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, it's a quality I wish Rodgers possessed more of right now.
I was going to say the same thing. Rodgers did state he was flattered by the compliment, saying, that's the highest form of respect that I can get from him, so I really appreciate that, especially being a Bear fan. Let's hope that Obama isn't just buttering Aaron up for a Thanksgiving turkey of a game.
Thanks, Obama. And that was your latest Packers news. Next up is Gem from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week's Gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
With perhaps one of the few nice stats from the last two games, and a reminder to trust in Ted, Dak Cruz tweeted, hey guys, here's some stats from the last 2 weeks. Justin Pirlo, 5 catches, 58 yards. Vernon Davis, 2 catches, 19 yards.
Oh, with news today that Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is also on the injury report with a shoulder injury, at K80478 responded with, not only will this be a border battle, it will be a shoulder battle Sunday.
And it's funny because it's true news. Our favorite, the Packer Ranter, tweeted, the genius thing about how the Packers' offensive staff is structured is that Packers fans have no clue who to fire. LOLOLOLOLOL.
I would just fire them all. And finally, with the blame game going around this week, Cheesehead TV's Aaron Nagler appears to have found the ultimate culprit when asked how much of the season's struggles could be blamed on Mike McCarthy cutting off the beard before week one. Nagler replied, pretty much all of them. And that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweets of the Week.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, CD.
Talk me off the edge, would you? Or is it even possible anymore?
We have 3 losses.
We do. Only three losses.
This season could easily be 13-3, 12-4, 11-5.
I love your positivity.
And you know what? I will take any of those. Because beat the Vikings this weekend, and the world feels a lot different. Yes, it sucks to lose to the Lions. The Lions didn't even look like they were trying part of the game.
Pretty much the end of the game, I think they stopped. I think they said, okay, this is the point. This is the point in the game where the Packers beat us, so let's roll over and let them do it. And
yeah,
the Packers still couldn't do it.
The Packers just couldn't beat a clearly inferior team. There was no good team on that field on Sunday. The Packers should have won that game.
Absolutely.
And it's very disheartening. There are multiple things wrong that need to be fixed. The thing is with this Packers team, and I actually was... Yes, talking to myself on my drive home today from work, because I do that quite frequently, especially on show days, so I'm a little bit prepared. That's how I prepare now. In that, this Packers team has the right pieces. Sometimes those pieces aren't fitting together the way they're supposed to. It reminds me of the Lakers before Phil Jackson got there.
Mm-hmm.
Stars galore. It should have been a team that's doing great. Sometimes reminds you of the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys should be a much better team than they are or have been recently. The Packers have the stuff. I mean, for as bad as Aaron Rodgers looked, he's Aaron Rodgers. for as bad as this team looks at time, even the defense, they look really bad, and then just something switches, and they look a lot better. Look from week one to week two of the season.
I still feel
that this team has the ability to switch that light on and go 13-3, or just never switch it back on, and we're going to be 5-11.
I would agree.
Cheesehead Radio special guest.
And I'll tell you what, Jamie, I think we're going to bring someone in right now. Hello, is this Pete Doherty?
It is.
Hello, this is CD Angeli, and I'm with Jamie. You're live here on Cheesehead Radio. How are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. Hey, it's great having you back on the show. I think we had you on several years ago. Big fan, of course. I subscribe, read all your stuff every day. Really, really enjoying some of your periscopes lately.
Those are kind of fun. Yeah, me and Wes do those. Wes Hodkowitz.
Yeah, so I was trying to throw out some zingers to you on Sunday when you were periscoping. from the game. I was trying to catch you on a couple. I think I got you on a couple. So,
keep them coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep up the great work. So, hey, listen, we're just going to take 50 minutes, throw a couple questions at you here, but let's just start out a little bit. Just give us kind of a State of the Union address, if you would. Where are you seeing this team at right now? We're obviously unsure. We're feeling icky about it. How do you see it at this point?
Well, probably the same as you and most everybody else. I mean, things are looking a little bleak right now. The one thing I always try to remind myself, I've been covering this for a long time now, is to try not to be too much of a prisoner of what happened most recently. Now, this wasn't just one game, though. This is three really bad games in a row. And the offense has been, you can go back to San Francisco, really, and they've had some issues going back that far. So, I don't want to understate it, but teams have regrouped after, bad stretches like this. The one thing that makes me think that this team can is I think a lot of it is that Aaron Rodgers just isn't playing to the level that he has, and that if he's maybe a little more willing to take some calculated risks on throwing to guys who are, more or less covered, but there might be a small window there. He generally doesn't like to make those throws because he doesn't like to come close to throwing interceptions. But
right.
If he starts making more plays, then I think that could, that would go a long way toward making this team better.
Cool. Jamie and I just voted, and we decided that a prisoner of what happened recently is the new tweet of the week. So thank you.
Yes,
ahead,
I
Jamie.
Like that line. Speaking of Rodgers and kind of getting to trust wide receivers again, I noticed that Ty Montgomery was a full participant today.
Yes.
Do you think his return to the offense will provide a spark? Because I feel like when he left, the offense changed dramatically.
Yeah, I think with him, it does a couple things. It mixes things up because they'll go to that four or that five wide or, four wides in a tight end offense. And they'll do it for several plays in a row. And that's a lot different look than the three wides and a tight end and a running back. And they can put either him or Cobb in the backfield. Or they can even, they did a few times do both and motion one of them out. And I think that makes it harder for defenses to match up and target one guy for double teams and all that. So, I think that would make a difference. I mean, every little bit could make a difference. I think the thing they miss most still is the ability to stretch the field. These defenses are just bunching them at the line and daring them to beat them deep. And in the past, they could do it. And this year, they haven't been able to. But, yeah, I think you're right that could, they could use a boost from a lot of places, and that would be as good as any.
Hey, speaking of which right now, Pete, if you're the coach and you could do what you wanted, who would you sit and who do you start right now? I mean, how do you mix this up?
I would probably start playing Perillo at least as much as Richard Rodgers. I'd give that a shot. It's funny. I did a chat today and an online chat, and somebody was asking me that. I don't know that I'd make wholesale changes. I think I'd play Elliott a little more than they have as an outside rusher. Maybe give a little more juice to the pass rush. I don't know that there are many guys that I would just flat out bench. I think I would play Jake Ryan. I would start him ahead of Palmer. I think I would sit Palmer for sure. I don't know if I think I would just mix some other guys into the rotation a little more to see what they could do, including, Alonzo Harris. I mean, why not take a look-see and give him a couple carries? I was stunned that he only got one snap last week with Lacy not playing. I thought for sure, Harris would get, four or five carries maybe,
Yeah, but Harris not getting any any real action outside of that one carry. It was surprising to me as well because I feel like the running game has just completely disappeared, and I know you touched on it with my last question, is they're just stuffing him in the box, but what's going on with Lacy and then Starks? Is there anything that they really can do to get this running game moving?
I don't know. You know, Lacy, it sure looks to me and sounds to me like it's a weight issue and that he's just not as explosive. One of the guys that I work with, Ryan Wood, thinks that they just need to give him the ball 15 times, 18 times, instead of just 8 or 9 and stopping there. And that if they do that, he'll make some plays. Even if he is heavy, he'll still pick up enough yards to give him a viable run game. And so maybe he's right. I don't know for sure what the answer is. The one I still go back to, though, if Rodgers is playing at a really high level, a lot of these other weaknesses start getting covered up. You don't notice them as much. But when he's had a couple games, three games like he's had, then every little issue that they have, it just gets magnified.
Yeah.
And kind of jumping off that, you know, I remember Brett Favre after his father died and going against the Raiders. I remember Donald Driver saying, anything you throw up, we're going to catch. And they did. But I'm looking at isolation shots of our wide receivers right now, and they're jogging routes. I mean, they're literally jogging routes, giving up. Sometimes they're not even turning back, looking for the ball. What gives? What happened? What's happening with this wide receiving core?
I don't know. You know, part of it is I've watched Jones on some plays, and I'm not so sure he's jogging. I just think he's not very fast, you know. That might be part of
true.
It. You know, if a guy's jogging, I have to assume it's because he thinks there's no way he's getting the ball. But even then, I think you're supposed to, you never know what's going to happen, so you need to run the route out. So, you know, I can't speak to that specifically. I haven't noticed that quite as much, but what you were saying made me think of when you said about Favre, you know, in that game, what Driver said to him. I mean, look how they played in the fourth quarter in these last two games where
right.
Rodgers has taken some more chances, throwing into the tighter windows. He hates to throw into those. I mean, think about it. He almost never even comes close to throwing an interception, let alone actually getting picked. But you look the way he played in those last two fourth quarters, they got the offense going. There's that throw he had to Perillo, that third and 15, that 24-yarder. That was a really tight window and a tough throw. He just stood tall in the pocket and just fired it, and, you know, instead of going through all his different reads, he just said, that's open enough, and he drilled it. I just wonder if he needs to accept the limitations that they have without Jordy Nelson and just take a few more, I don't know, calculated risks, I guess you'd call it.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball a little bit. It came out this week that Teddy Bridgewater also has a shoulder injury, and the couple of games I've seen of the Vikings, it appears he gets rattled really easily, still pretty young. Do you think Dom will dial up the blitzes to really get in his head, or will the Packers just focus on containing Adrian Peterson and force and say, yeah, let Bridgewater throw on us?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how hard it is to do both. It's probably pretty tough to do both. And I don't know, Adrian Peterson would be the guy who scares me. I think if you're playing the Vikings, you make Bridgewater beat you. That said, you know, what you can do is if you can do well on early downs against Peterson every once in a while anyway and get him into third and eight, then you can start running all those blitzes because you don't have to worry as much about the run. So that, you know, that would give you a chance to do both. But if I'm Dom Capers or anybody else and playing the Vikings, you know, the guy you don't want beating you is Peterson. I think you have to make Bridgewater beat you.
All right. You know, when the Packers lost to the Broncos, a lot of us said on social media, oh, no, now there's a blueprint on how to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Not really believing it, but now I think two games later, there seems to be a magic bullet for opposing defenses to be able to corral Aaron Rodgers, force him to stay in the pocket, and it's brought this offense to a screeching halt. Do you think the Vikings have the personnel to make this happen for the fourth week in a row?
Yeah, I think they've got good personnel. Now, they like to blitz a lot. Zimmer likes to send a lot of different combinations. Yeah, they do. And actually, you know what? I think that plan of attack goes back to Kansas City. And I think that's
sure.
where San Francisco, at San Francisco.
Right.
That was the first game where if you watch the outside rushers in that game, as soon as they get to Rodgers' depth, they stop rushing. They don't go. They would not go around him and try to get outside. That they were trying to keep him in the pocket, and that's basically how almost everybody has tried to play them since. And because these, you know, these receivers aren't getting open like they were when Nelson was playing last year, it's working because Rodgers is holding the ball, and he's holding the ball, and nobody's getting open. And, I, you know, that probably helps explain why he's so antsy in the pocket, because he doesn't want to sit in there forever, because that's how you get hit. But there aren't always escape lanes for him.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick back with my build off my last question about AP and Bridgewater. You know, if we're going to try to contain Adrian Peterson at the beginning, after the first game this year, after Chicago, and the way Forte ran all over the Packers defense, I would have said, oh, God, Adrian Peterson's going to have like a 300-yard day. Then they managed to shut down Charles and Lynch, and it was like, oh, okay, and we could contain Adrian Peterson when we get there. And I feel like the defense is just Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know which run defense is going to show up. What's changed from the days of being able to contain Marshawn Lynch and Jamaal Charles, and can they bring that back to actually contain Adrian Peterson?
You know, not sure, because that was impressive how they played against Lynch. That was one of their more impressive defensive games in the last couple of years, I thought, with just how well they defended him, because that whole offense revolves around Lynch. The one thing I wonder is, if in this game, you know, they don't play Guyon, Raji, and Pinnell together very often. I wonder if we're going to see, I could be completely wrong here, but I wonder if we're going to see all three of those guys on the field on a decent amount of first downs, because those are their three best run defenders, and they're all 320 to 30-pound guys. And, you know, remember in 10 when they would do that, they'd put, remember they picked up Green, and they'd play him and Raji, and I'm trying to think, they had a third behemoth too, and I'm blanking on who it was, but Capers would put all three of those guys out there, and that helped turn that defense around that season. And I just wonder if we'll see maybe all three of those guys again, because this back is so good. I wonder if we'll see all three of those guys out there every once in a while.
All right. Hey, sticking on that thought, the 3-3-5 nickel was my favorite defense in Madden, and the Packers finally unveiled something like a 3-3-5 nickel last week, got a lot of attention, especially early in the game. Seems like this is a couple times Caper has thrown out a different formation or a different look or with the scheme. Is this intentional on his part, I guess, or is he just kind of throwing stuff against the wall to see what works? I mean, it seemed to sort of work a little bit against the Lions, but you know, wasn't enough.
Yeah, you talk about like the Dayton Jones thing where he was playing end. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never gotten a straight answer from guys on whether they keep stuff like this in their back pocket and wait till like halfway through the year to use it. My guess is it was more they're just looking for, you know, ways to play a little better, because, you know, up until this last game, the defense, you know, hadn't, I guess they were okay against Denver, but they hadn't played that great. You know, actually, they weren't that good against Denver. So, they've struggled for a couple weeks here, San Diego. You know, we all remember what a disaster that was. So I'm guessing he was just trying, you know, Dayton Jones has been playing better, so they're probably looking for ways, you know, better than he did his first 2 years. They're probably looking for ways to get him on the field more, and this is a way to do it. And I'm guessing he was just looking for any kind of change of pace that might improve the defense a little bit, and if it works really well, you know, they can keep going back to it. That's just a guess, though. Maybe he had that in his back pocket and just wanted to wait a half a season so he could give some teams some unscouted looks.
Sure.
Okay, Pete, I've heard a lot of fans say it on Twitter, and I'm sure you've been getting it in your chat, you know, asking, what's wrong with Rodgers? Has he been hurt? Is he hurt? He must be hurt. He must be hurt. Finally comes out today, oh, yeah, he's got a right shoulder injury. Do you think that that is just from last Sunday's game? And how concerned should we be with it?
You know, I don't know, because the injury, you know, they have all the press availability before practice with McCarthy and the locker room, and Rodgers talks on Wednesdays. So the report, and this is all intentional, you know, the report doesn't come out till after practice, so then they don't have to comment on it. Rodgers won't be available again until after the game Sunday. So we don't know how serious it is. Is it just soreness from landing on it? It could be, you know, is it rotator cuff? I mean, who knows? There's no way to know. I'm guessing if it didn't happen in the Sunday's game, it was made worse in Sunday's game. My just gut guess, without, you know, knowing, is it probably affected his accuracy on Sunday, because he missed some throws that you never see. I don't think it explains the way he's played overall over the last month. I still think that's more about decision making than throwing accuracy. But it probably did. It probably helps account for maybe a couple of the stray throws that we saw on Sunday.
All right. All right, we're talking with Pete Doherty of PackersNews.com. He's also the Green Bay Press Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty, D-O-U-H-E-R-T-Y. One final question for you, Pete, before we let you go, and thank you very much for joining us. It's almost kind of going back to my first question, but we all took a vote on Twitter on Sunday, and we think that the Packers have hit rock bottom, but they're playing the Vikings, who are 7-2, and then we're playing the Bears on Thanksgiving. I mean, two more divisional losses in 5 days, this would be rockier, bottomier. So what's your sense right now internally for this team as they're approaching this game? Do you see them regaining their focus, a direction, and fixing these problems? Or going into these two games in a week, are they still seeming a little lost and unsure of how to even fix the problems that are plaguing them?
That's the question, isn't it? You know, I'm just groping and, you know, stabbing in the dark like everybody else here. My guess is I just think that Rodgers is too good a player and there's enough talent on this team that for them to play this poor offense, I just have trouble believing that they can do this for, you know, week after week continually. McCarthy in the past has been good at adjusting the offense and, you know, getting things on track when they're going poorly. Even if it's, you know, for a couple of games, he's usually pretty good at fixing that. So it's just hard for me to square having one of the best two quarterbacks in the league and how poorly they played on offense the last three games. So that is the only thing that makes me think that, I mean, I find it hard to believe it won't turn around. But, you know, I'm just guessing like everybody else because, like you said, you know, who could have guessed that Detroit was going to, I didn't see Detroit beating the Packers coming, you know. So, yeah, things can get worse. They can lose against a good Minnesota team this week. And then who knows, you know, four straight losses, then they're really reeling. But my guess is that they'll right the ship and be, you know, one of the three or four NFC teams that has a chance, you know, when we hit January. But, you know, I'm not betting the house on it, put it that way.
All right. Some very cautious positivity from Pete Doherty. Thank you very much. I'm not sure that fully reassured me, but I don't know if that's good for any of us right now, if any of us are going to get a lot of reassurance. Pete, thank you so much for joining us again once again on Cheesehead Radio. Really enjoyed having you, and keep up the great work, because I love following
sure.
you and all the stuff that you do.
Always a pleasure. Let's not wait 4 years next time.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks
all right,
Pete.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
It was.
And
now it's time for
Cheesehead Radio. Brings you Make It or Break It.
Sting was a little delayed there. Sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say, now that I think that we have a free line, I'm wondering if there's someone else who's available to maybe join us for Make It or Break It discussion.
You mean like another co-host who may be joining us for the second half of the show?
Maybe. I'm just, you know, throwing things out there, seeing
okay.
what's close.
Oh.
I don't know what sound effect that was.
Let me open the door and see who's there. John, is that you?
Hey, guys.
John!
Hey!
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good to have you back here, bud. Better
yeah.
late than
Thank
never.
Thank you very Yes. Sorry I couldn't be on for Pete. I did get to listen to a good chunk of what he was saying. He put my mind at ease until the last question was answered with his. I wouldn't bet the house on it. So, yeah.
Rockier, bottomer. Say that three times fast. See what happens.
I would like to participate in Make It or Break It, because right now I have thoughts. We got thoughts.
Thoughts with Ray Hoare. Think them. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm joining in progress. I'll let you guys start the conversation, and then I will merely dive in afterwards.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So we all have to play by your rules. I see how
yeah,
it goes.
Yeah. Isn't that the same as every week? Now, I'll tell you what, and this is something I've been prepping. This has been in my head. I have not written an article this week because I have not had time. So this is one of those articles that's been sitting in my head that I haven't been able to type. So I'm just going to kind of spit it out a little bit here. It's one of those Angeli is an idiot articles that I'd write. So you guys may prepare to pounce on me, but I really believe this. The thing that came out this week about defensive coordinators saying straight up, Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust his receivers. And as soon as I heard that, everything makes sense. Why is he staying in the pocket so long? Why isn't he getting rid of the ball? Why isn't he taking those chances? Why isn't he slinging that ball out there? Because he's waiting. He's not quite sure they're open enough. He's not quite sure the window's open. He's not trusting Davante Adams to turn the corner, get open, and get enough separation to make that throw. Why do I perceive, Pete didn't agree with me, but why do I perceive that these receivers are jogging the routes? That they run the route as it's supposed to be, and then they stop. They run the curl, they're done. There's no extending the play. There's no crossing the field. There's no coming back to the ball. They just stop. He doesn't trust the receivers. And guess what? The receivers, and I'm looking right at Davante Adams and Randall Cobb, they're not trusting Rodgers. I think there's some friction there. I think there's some personality stuff going on there that without his security blanket, Jordy Nelson, who he does overpass the ball to. We had an article on that last year. I think after about 4 weeks, he was the most targeted, most passed to receiver in the NFL, like more than double of Cobb at that point. So it makes sense he doesn't trust. How do you fix that? And I'm going to say here's the way I would do it. He needs to risk interceptions. He needs to be more Favre-like. He needs to get in there and force the ball in, and maybe he's going to throw a couple interceptions. But I can tell you right now, guys, Aaron Rodgers with this glowing, beautiful 105.2 passer efficiency rating for last week's game and losing isn't good enough. We've got to take a risk. He's got to put the ball in there. He's got to trust his receivers to make catches. And maybe we've got to take a risk to do it. But holding onto the ball, taking those sacks, throwing the ball away, I don't think it's going to do it. I think he's got to take risks.
Okay. Now, I completely agree that Aaron Rodgers does not trust these wide receivers.
Good.
I'm with you on that. However, I cannot remember a time that we weren't complaining. I don't mean we, I just mean collective fan base, weren't complaining that Rodgers stands too long in the pocket.
Exactly.
I don't think that you can use that as proof, and you did, part of your argument that he doesn't trust them. I think the fact that he's always done that, sometimes maybe because he's waiting for the receivers that he trusts to get open, but he's always done that to a fault. He's taken too many sacks. He's put his body at too much risk. He's taken us out of field goal range, helped not flip the field on possession. I think that's always been a knock against him. And so I don't think that you can count that as a sign of him not trusting the wide receivers. I think a sign of him not trusting the wide receivers is he doesn't seem to throw them open. He doesn't trust that they're going to follow the route or know, I guess, not read his mind, but they don't have that connection of, okay, in this situation where you're completely covered and I'm getting stuck in this pocket and I can't move, you know I'm going to throw it here and you're going to run your butt there and go grab it. He doesn't know it. They don't know it. It is, I think it is a chemistry thing. I don't think it's necessarily a chemistry thing between him, Cobb, and Adam, because they had chemistry last year. They've had it. I don't know what's going on there.
But he's played with Jones for years. He should have the most chemistry with Jones. I mean, Jones was there when he was young and developing. Think of the trust that Rodgers had with Jennings and Driver, you know, the veterans who were there.
But that could go back to the injury thing. Does Rodgers trust himself? Does Rodgers trust the ball is going to go where he wants it? Does he trust that in this offense that seems makeshift and crazy? I mean, I love Neo. I love him to death. Neo is our number one running back over Eddie Lacy. I'm excited that Ty Montgomery is coming back. Like, this is where we are in life. I saw that Ty Montgomery was full participant, and I jumped up and down. So I was like, yes, someone awesome's coming back. Someone I didn't know like a year ago. Sweet.
Free Janice.
So, please, dear God, no. But so my point, I don't think he has faith in maybe his injury, maybe that the offense, that everyone's on this same weird, wacky page. I agree that he doesn't have confidence in them. I just don't think that him standing in the pocket's a sign of that. I think that's just Aaron Rodgers.
John?
Okay. So I have thoughts. Now, here's what I don't understand. Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP, right? MVP of the league last year.
Last I checked.
So if he does not trust his receivers, what is he doing to fix that? Because, I'm sorry, if there is a chemistry issue, if you just want to like simplify it into those terms, as the, quote, leader of the team, it's up to him to establish that chemistry with those receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is, he's played with Randall Cobb for 5 years now. He's played with James Jones for, 7 years now? Devontae Adams is a second-year guy. Jared Aberderis, second-year guy. Jeff Janis, he walks on water. So I think that there's more to it than just trust. I think it's a case of everything you're mentioning, his injury, which I'm quite sure we'll get into in a little bit, trying to compensate for that. These receivers not necessarily running the routes that he wants, but maybe the routes that they're taught, not having a running game to speak of. And as much as James Starks may be the second coming of James Starks again, James Starks doesn't excite me at running back. The offensive line is playing like hot garbage. You put all that together, and this is where we're at. I think that team will only go as far as Rodgers wants to take him. So if he's the one that's struggling right now, and if he has some issue with his personnel, as the reigning MVP of the league, as the leader of the team, it's up to him, in my opinion, to figure out, A, what's going on, and B, try to fix it. Now, I'm kind of glad that it came out in the injury report that he's injured. That does kind of explain a little bit. But I don't think it explains everything. Now, CD?
Yes.
I understand that you might have just taken up crack in the last 5 minutes or so. I'm going to advise you to put the crack pipe down and let exhale out whatever you got in, because he's not going to start forcing the ball anywhere. I am convinced that that goes completely against everything he believes in. Do I think he should? Yes, I do. I've kind of said that all season long. He should.
Wait a minute, you're agreeing with me, but you're disagreeing with me.
I am.
And I'm just telling you have a drug problem.
Apparently.
Well, yes. Well,
even though he's agreeing with me, I'm
I'm disagreeing with this. I think he should be forcing the ball a little bit more, but I don't think he's ever going to do that. It's just not in his nature, you know. But what he needs to do is start doing something with the ball instead of holding on to it, you know, like waiting for these receivers to get open. He's on target for the most rushing yards in his career with like 475, if memory serves, right? Well, if the rest of your offense is struggling and you have the ball and nobody's open, you have three choices. One, throw it away. Two, take a sack. Or three, how about run? Maybe what he needs to do instead of throwing the ball, forcing the ball more, is, okay, first one's not open, second one's not open, third one's not open, boom, I'm running. And run. At least pick up yardage some way, but we can't keep throwing the ball 61 times, you know, and expect to go very far. I mean, let's not talk about the playoffs. We're not going to expect to win many games because you're not supposed to throw the ball that many times and win. It just doesn't happen.
John, I'm actually going to agree with you on something.
Oh, my goodness. I think I just felt the earth stop spinning. So
I'm going to agree with you that this team will go as far as Rodgers will take them. And I think that that was something Pete Doherty also said. And to me, it's a little scary for us to even all of us be thinking this way, because how many years do we say that about Brett Favre?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Packers are only going to go as far as Brett Favre. And if Brett Favre has a bad game, the Packers are going to have a bad game. If Brett Favre has a good game, Packers have a good game. And I actually did some statistical analysis back in the day. I mean, it was kind of true. When Favre had a bad day, everyone's stats were way below average. You know, when he had a good game, everyone's stats were up. But I think it's even more to a psychological effect right now with Aaron, that he is kind of that compass for the team. He's kind of that center. And now that he is, for all these reasons you just said, whether it's his arm, whether it's his head, whether it's his relationship right now with the other, with his receivers, it's having an effect not just on the offense, but I think it's also having an effect on the defense. I think that when you're a leader, and I think Clay Matthews has dropped off since his, you know, second year as being that big, huge, emotional leader of the team. He's been a very good player, but I don't think he embodies everything that Rodgers does as an MVP. When they see Rodgers struggling, I think you see that. I think he is that linchpin right now for the team, for better or for worse.
Well, I definitely think it affects the defense. How demoralizing can it be? The defense did, I mean, granted, the Lions offense isn't anything to write home about, but the defense did its job. Gets that late turnover, and the offense can't do anything with it? I mean, it wasn't, like, late, but you know what? Like, that turnover was the, hey, sweet, we're going to, like, be back in this game, and everything's going to be fine. And the offense does nothing. At some point, the defense has to be like, well, what's the point? We can't score all the points, too. And granted, they haven't looked well at all either. But it used to be, okay, well, we can mess up. Like you're saying, we can mess up, but Aaron Rodgers is going to have a great game. So he'll be having a great game. And even if we make a couple of mistakes, we've got him to back us up. When you don't, it really changes things.
Okay.
I want you to start all of your comments like that. Okay, pregnant pause.
If a Packers team, Dom Capers' defense, gives up only 18 points, you would expect to win. I think everyone would agree with that, right?
Okay. Yes, we actually had a conversation earlier this season. I forget who our guest was, but they said that it's maybe second or third game. We're like, could you see a game where the Packers don't score 20 points? And we all were like, no, it's really hard to do. Like, we went through all the games. We're like, no, they could score 20 there. They could score 20 there. So, yeah, the defense holds them to 18. At that point, we were so optimistic. We saw the Packers always scoring 20.
The Packers offense scored 16 points against the worst point differential team in the NFL, against a completely pathetic Detroit defense. That's kind of scary when you think about some of the other teams that we're coming up against. That's the part that I could almost handle the loss. But our offense, for the first time in probably since 2005, is terrible right now. Terrible. And you can partially blame the 2005 season because on offense, who was there? There was Favre and nobody. He was basically out there by himself. There's no reason that we should be playing as piss poorly on offense as we are. You have a reigning MVP. You have a former Rookie of the Year. You got Randall Cobb, who's making goo-gobs of money. Okay, well, he's being covered by everybody under the sun because he's the only legit wide receiver on the team right now. But you got other people that you can, like, do things with, and we're not doing anything. Nothing. Is it 40% of our drives this season been three and out? Was that the thing that came out a couple weeks ago? 40% of our drives this season.
Stat Girl's going to be on that.
I do think
one thing that is very true to what you just said, though, John, we're looking at Randall Cobb as a number one, and maybe he's good enough to do it, maybe he's not, but I think what's clear is Devontae Adams is not good enough to be a two. He had his moments last year as a rookie. He had some good moments. There are days he was pretty bad, especially early on, but he got pretty good in that third wide receiver role, which, you know, maybe he's only being guarded by the nickel corner or something like that. But now that he's able to draw maybe the starting corner or, you know, some decent coverage, what was he targeted? 21 times?
21 times, targets? 10 catches, 79 yards.
10 catches, 79 yards for 21 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Either he's not getting open, Aaron Rodgers is overthrowing him, underthrowing him because he's not trusting him to get open to catch the ball. We've had drops. You're right. And then we start, as Jamie said, we start looking at Ty Montgomery. Yay, you're coming back because maybe you can do something that, dear Lord, Devontae Adams can't.
I mean, we were getting excited because Justin Perillo had some decent catches. Wow. That's like one of the highlights of the game. Justin Perillo made a few catches. Okay. Wasn't Richard Rodgers supposed to take like a massive second year leap this year?
Yes. That was the hope.
Yes. And has he? No. We haven't even talked about the tight end situation, as in we don't have one. I mean, we're looking forward to Andrew Quarles coming back. Andrew Quarles is a nice player, but he's not anything special. So I think even getting, you know, Quarles back is not going to make that much of a difference. And this all goes back to we're only going to go as far as Rodgers takes us. He has got to figure out a way to make these issues not necessarily go away. You know, when you don't have Jordy Nelson all season, that's a problem. But you got to make this work. And can I say one more thing? I just want to get on a soapbox for a second.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to anyways.
No, go ahead. I said sure. Go ahead.
I said a couple weeks ago, I actually sent a couple messages to people on Twitter saying, I wonder if Rodgers is hurt because it's the only explanation I have for how poorly he's playing. And never mind, not the fact that he was throwing incompletions, but just the way he was throwing did not look right. So how hurt has he been? And why did it take this long for him to show up on the report? I am concerned for one reason.
Just one?
Yes. Okay, his right shoulder's sore. Pete did touch on this. I did hear this part. Okay, is it just sore? Is it his rotator cuff? Because if it's just sore, soreness, you can play through. If it's a rotator cuff problem, that's going to be a difficult injury to overcome. That usually requires surgery in the off season, if you can make it that far. How long would he be out if it gets to that point? And not nobody's saying that, so anybody listening, not now. John's not saying he's having surgery, so don't start sending me hate, okay? But think about it. How injured is that arm, and how long can he play with it being the way it is? Are we going to potentially see him have to take a seat on the bench because his arm is literally just too sore to play? That's what I'm concerned about.
I'll be honest, you know, and Dr. Kelly's not here, but
I used to be able to chuck the ball fairly well. I mean, I wasn't a quarterback or anything, but, you know, I have some broad shoulders and, you know, I could throw the ball. I sleep with my hands behind a lot, you know, and over the years I've kind of tattered up my rotator cuff a little bit and I can feel it now. I try to throw the ball, try to put all of my shoulder into that. I can't do it. It hurts. It floats. And I look at what Rodgers is doing out there and how he has never, you want to talk about something that's true of Aaron Rodgers over his career. He never floats footballs.
Uh-huh.
He always throws low if he's going to miss or throws out of bounds. But we have seen some ducks for several weeks now, John. I mean, this wasn't just last week. I mean, I remember, I think it was against the Broncos. I looked at one that he was throwing a sideline pass, and I think it almost went into the stands. It's crazy. But, yeah, it would not surprise me if there's a rotator cuff involved with all this. Absolutely.
Well, as someone who, I didn't tear my rotator cuff, but I did some pretty awesome damage to my shoulder, falling out of a hollow back handstand and landing on my face and my shoulder, it hurts like hell. And I said it, and I was able to go, like, work through it. I still worked out every day. I still went to work. I still went about my life, normal life. And, I mean, I can't throw a ball when I'm healthy at all, so I didn't try when my shoulder hurt. But, you know, it was manageable pain. And then it just got to one day, one stretch, and I couldn't hold my arm out and lift it up straight and without crying. I mean, just shaking, crying in pain. And I'll tell you, I have no idea how players get cortisone shots and then go play. I wanted to crawl under my desk at work the day of my cortisone shot because it just hurt so bad. It didn't even feel like it took effect for 24 hours. So even if it's not torn, shoulder injuries are D-I-T-C-H. They are not fun. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't sleep well. You can't, I mean, like he said when he had his clavicle collarbone issue, you can't be comfortable ever because every movement you put it in hurts. I'm still doing physical therapy for mine, and I fell on August 31st.
All right, hollow back girl. I got a – sorry, I had to get that one out. A few weeks ago, I was on Twitter, and I'm going to call out Ross Uglum here just a little bit, one of our co-hosts over at From the Benches. I made kind of a passing, you know, one of my little smart alecky comments that I tend to do on Twitter, and just kind of said, no. It was against the Panthers. And I said, you know, if the Packers don't get this straightened out, they're never going to be favored again in the game for the rest of the year. Ha, ha, ha. And people flew over me because they thought I was being literal. Says, what are you talking about? The Packers are playing the 1-7 Lions next week. They're going to be favored. And I'm sitting there kind of, guys, I was just kind of saying, no, they're going to be. I said, okay, fine. And Ross was kind of going after me. And the line came out for the Lions game, and the Packers were plus, you know, minus 12. I kind of got it pointed out to me on Twitter. See? CD, you were wrong. See? Right now, the Minnesota Vikings are a 1-point favorite against the Packers. The Minnesota Vikings are favorites in this game.
By how much?
6-0 3 weeks ago. You can't.
Wait,
do
how
it.
Much are I they? Mean, how much are they favored by?
By Oddshark, Minnesota -1.
Okay, but they're given 3 for home field advantage.
2.5, but yes, it's still the Vikings. It's still the Packers.
It's still the team quarterbacked by Teddy Bridgewater.
Exactly, and they're favored, and Teddy Bridgewater is hurt. It's crazy.
But what's the difference? What do the Vikings have that the Packers don't?
Right now, they have NFC North lead.
Right. And they have Adrian Peterson.
True.
I was going to say a child abuser, but, you know.
Well, that is for the Cheesehead Radio, you know, spinoff series, you know, it's like a Dateline series, you know, how to become a complete a-hole while keep playing football. But, hey, that's a show we'll introduce in the summer. How confident are you they're going to be able to stop AP? I know what my confidence level is. Hovers somewhere around 0. So you don't need to.
I would say also that I think that if you're looking at the Lions, who had Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and that's really it. And how many points do they score against their defense?
18.
Well, I mean, yes, but Abdul on the kickoff return accounts for a lot of those yardage. He didn't get the score, but he got the yardage.
But this is an offense that was going nowhere. This team has Adrian Peterson, who's running for 100-plus yards and doing it well, and then getting Bridgewater and some of the guys open for them. But guys, they're 7-2. This offense can put some moderate points on the board. They're not a high-flying super offense like the San Francisco 49ers of old, but if the Lions can put up 18, do you not think Adrian Peterson's going to put 150 yards and they're going to put 25-30 on the board? And then the question is, Mr. Rahor and Mrs. Snowden, do you trust our offense to score more points than them if they're scoring 25 to 30 points?
Well, I don't want to ruin our prediction time. I mean, let me put it this way. Whenever the Vikings play the Packers, I always assume Peterson will have 100 yards. It's just he's that good. I mean, you can think about whatever you want about him as a person, but, I mean, as a football player, he's a damn good football player. So I pulled up their stats here. Do you know that the Vikings are the number one rushing team in the NFL? 127 yards a game.
Shocker.
Do you know that the Packers have the 24th ranked rushing defense?
How is that different from any other time we faced the Vikings?
Well, this time they have Teddy Bridgewater, who, I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with. I don't even know.
Who's half poopy and half okay? I mean, I'll admit, I've only watched two of their games. Half the time he looks more confused. Remember the game where Matt Flynn played against the Patriots, and at the end how just confused he looked? That's what Teddy Bridgewater looks like all the time. All of the time. Even when the plays go well. All the time.
I'm just looking at, you know, now, granted, these stats for the Packers on defense are really inflated, you know, because when you give up 1,500 yards in 3 weeks, it's going to inflate things a little bit. But, I mean, they have the 23rd overall defense, giving up 372 yards a game. They have the 24th ranked rushing defense, giving up 116 yards a game, and the 21st ranked passing defense at 255. If you look at the Vikings, you know, they're 29th in the NFL in yards with 328, but they're number one in rushing. Something's got to give here. Either the Packers are going to stop Peterson and force Bridgewater to throw the ball, which if he's got a shoulder injury might be kind of a problem considering I don't even know a single wide receiver on the Vikings. I actually only know two players on the Vikings, Bridgewater and Peterson. That's how important they are to me. But if they can't stop Peterson, it can get really fugly out there. It could get really fugly out there.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you two because you've really depressed me. How are things going to turn around for this team? The Packers are going to beat the Vikings. Tell me how it's going to happen. What has to happen? What do you see changing other than just playing gooder? How are they going to do it?
Jamie.
Oh, my gosh. That much silence? Wow. We may have lost Jamie altogether. I'm not sure. So, John, I guess it's up to you.
I was muted, and I was talking, and then I was like, oh, why is John interrupting me? That's so rude of him. No, okay, our defense has proven of late to be opportunistic. We've been getting turnovers when we've needed them. Teddy Bridgewater will throw an interception. Teddy Bridgewater might even throw two. He's already had three fumbles this year. He's already had, I don't even know how many turnovers, interceptions, six, three fumbles. He's giving up the ball this weekend. Because that's what our defense can do. There's a lot it can't do, but it can do that. I have faith that Adrian Peterson cannot carry the Vikings alone, just like Aaron Rodgers can't carry the Packers alone. I have faith that whatever is going on with Rodgers, and I know there's a million other things wrong with this team, but I think we said it earlier, and I think we can all agree, that if Rodgers is even a little bit more mentally on, just a little. I'm not saying back to MVP form, but if one of had just one more completed pass, we would have won that game. And he was playing that bad. I'm concerned. I'm not seeing this as a blowout. I am scared. But is this doom and gloom? It's the Vikings and Teddy Bridgewater is their quarterback.
I am exceptionally concerned about this game. I think a couple things need to happen. Number one, like you said, Jamie, the Packers defense needs to force turnovers. But adding on to that, the Packers offense needs to do something with those turnovers once they get the ball. It would be nice if they could, like, I don't know, sack a quarterback sometime, you know, before the end of the year. It's been a long time since we've seen that. Heck, even a little pressure would be nice. We might luck into one of those simply because they're going to target AP, which makes sense. He's their focal point on offense. But if you can somehow get in Bridgewater's face when he is throwing the ball, he will then force that turnover. My bigger concern is the offense. For some reason, I have this crazy idea that Dom will hold Peterson to under 300 yards this week. So therefore, the Packers will be in the game. But what concerns me is the offense. You're already under the scrutiny of being an offensive firepower which has suddenly lost its spark. And now you're going to play for first place in a tough place. Yeah.
But what a better place to get your spark back.
That's true.
Sometimes you get fire when you need it the most.
Look, I'm going to tell you, the Minnesota Vikings came back. I don't know if you guys saw that. Mike Zimmer gave them all T-shirts when they got back to the team facility after their last win. They got back.
That's nice.
The T-shirt says, "Beat Green Bay." He gave every player a T-shirt that says, "Beat Green Bay." Minnesota is psyched. They're not used to being 7-2. They're not used to winning. They're not used to going into a game as a one-point advantage over the Packers. They're not used to the Packers being this demoralized and defeated and their fan base, honestly, at times sounding like Vikings fans normally do. I think this is what you're going to see. You are going to see the traditional Mike McCarthy, we've hit rock bottom, things are the darkest, and you're going to see the dawn. And you're going to see, I think you're going to see Eddie Lace come in, and he's going to come in and he's going to rush for 50, 60 yards off the bench at a critical time. You're going to see some key turnovers. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers make some plays. You're going to see everyone somehow just come out and play with some reckless abandon, with a chip on their shoulder, because that's what Mike McCarthy's team does. That's what I think it's going to be. Because I'll tell you what, guys, if they lose, they're 2.5 games out of first place in the division, or 2.1, depending on, I guess, how you want to count the tiebreaker. And it's not a long season after this, guys. There's 6 games after this. You can't afford this. This is a huge, monstrous, monstrous game.
Is it a must-win for you?
Yes. Honestly, if they lose this game, guys, I have not lost hope on the season. I don't think Pete's lost hope on the season. When we talked to him earlier, he said, I see the Packers still being in the thick of it. They're going to be in the playoffs. You know, maybe they're not going to be the first round. You know, not going to have the first round bye or anything like that. But you still have hope. I think if they lose this game, it's going to be really hard to come back because, you know what? Not every year is 2010.
I don't think this is a must-win.
Why not?
I mean, morale-wise, I think it is, but by just the measure of a season, no. Because the Vikings have to play the Falcons, Seahawks, Cardinals, Bears, Giants, and then they finish at Packers. Yeah, it would suck and be really hard to go down to the Vikings that far right now. So make it up and beat the Bears. Make it up and beat them on the last game of the season at Lambeau, and it's fine. And I'm remembering what we said last week. The Vikings at that point 6-2 is as soft as a baby's bottom. The Vikings are not going to finish with only 2 losses. Somewhere between 2 times versus the Packers, going to Atlanta, to Arizona, and facing, I know Seattle's crazy this year, but facing Seattle, the Giants, and the Bears, there are more losses for the Vikings there. It's not over after this week. They're also going to win, but it's not over after this week, regardless of the outcome. Because we can make that up.
John, must win?
Yes.
You guys are haters.
I'm going to say no, it's not a must win.
There you go.
But kind of like you said, if they don't win, it's going to get really, really difficult to play catch up. I don't believe that any game is a must win when you're not quite 3/4 of the way through the season. And you're only a game out of first. But, Jamie, like you said, morale-wise, a win would really do some good. And not like some 6-3 win, you know, or a 2-0 win.
Oh, God, a 6-3 win? 2-0?
I'm talking like a win, maybe not quite to the caliber that we're used to seeing this team win by, you know, where they throw up 30 points at, you know, on a whim, but a relatively modest, you know, like a 10-point to 2-touchdown victory.
that will be something to give them some inspiration heading into Thanksgiving, you know, and then you can carry that back to Detroit. You know, if you want to talk about an interesting game, that game at Detroit could be interesting because, you know, they seem to really play like complete horse manure in Detroit at times. So could we see history repeat itself? Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, if I'm looking at the schedule, that could be an interesting game to pay attention to also.
You guys ready to get to predictions?
Yes.
Cheesehead Radio, Packer Game Predictions.
The Green Bay Packers, 6-3, head to Minnesota to play the 7-2 Vikings. It's a big NFC North matchup, probably one we didn't anticipate being this big. We certainly didn't anticipate being behind in the standings. Two of us believe it's a must-win situation. One of us is hopelessly optimistic. Let's go around and see how
hopelessly.
We predict this game.
It's called real.
John Reinhart, what do you say?
Now, before I give my prediction, I'd just like to preface this with this. Normally, I'm seen as like the most negative of the bunch here, even by CD standards. This is a realistic, using my head, prediction. You ready? I am predicting a Packers loss. 26-17. I am. I think when you said hit rock bottomy when talking to Pete earlier in the show, I really
rockier,
think...
Rockier, bottomier.
Okay. I really think that they're going to go rockier, bottom. I can't even say it. I'll just let you trademark that. One more game. I think they'll play better than they... I don't think you'll play much worse than you did last week, but I think they're going to lose one more.
All right. So Mr. Optimistic, the hater himself, predicts a loss. We're going to go now to the amazing and effervescent Jamie Snowden.
Well, even though I don't see this as a must win, I see the Packers winning this game because it's Teddy Bridgewater. And I still think, like I said last week, Packers just need to prove they can ride a pony again. They don't need to come out and, you know, ride a Clydesdale. They just need to show that they can do something resembling football. So I'm going Packers 24, Vikings 21. It won't be pretty. It will be tense. But
Jamie Snowden is a true fan.
Hashtag.
A real fan.
Hashtag.
A real fan. Free Janice. My name is CD Angeli.
No.
I am the tiebreaker, apparently, in this thing. John is saying Vikings. Jamie's saying Packers. I'm going to say Packers 23, Vikings 23. I'm going to predict the tie.
What?
I'm not
Are
doing
you serious?
That again.
I'm only doing it, John, because unlike you, I have a conscience, and I cannot predict the Vikings to win. I can't
do
it.
So you want us to just sit through that craziness again?
Yes.
You basically just hate us all.
I don't hate everyone.
That's a wonderful conscience you have.
I'm saying that I just can't predict the Vikings. I mean, that goes against every fiber of my being, so I'm just going to say it's going to be a tie, so it doesn't seem as bad.
I'm pretty sure
what
that's too bad.
What would a tie do for the standings? That would put them 1/7/16 out of first place or something like that?
You know what? I'm not figuring it out because I don't want that to happen. Okay? I'm just going to go Donovan McNabb on this and say ties don't happen, and they can't. There.
All right.
Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on a special Wednesday night edition of Cheesehead Radio, and a special thank you to Pete Verity from the Green Bay Press Gazette for also joining us. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com to get all the podcasts. Please follow at Packers Talk Net on Twitter and like the Packers Talk Network page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. And finally, please be sure to support our sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing at Mayfield Sports and Waukesha Sports Card at Walk Sports on Twitter. They're awesome and support us. Do you support them? And as the outro theme from Intervention plays, picture the Packers after rehab, smiling, mess scars gone, happy and winning.
Hope you enjoy this intervention. On behalf of John and Jamie, go Pack Go. We'll talk to you next week after a win.
Go Pack Go.
I'm exceptionally concerned about this music. Go Pack Go.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.